Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Hallinan, one of the employee engineers here, helps us out with the computer problems, questions, and concerns. And it's been a quiet morning. You guys are not calling in. I know it's going to be a nice day today. Which is fine. I'm planning on being outside too. But you got a couple of pasty white computer geeks in here that, you know, haven't seen the sun for a long time and are here to help you out. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll talk some technology news, though, Dennis, as we wait for your calls.
Well, one of the things that we brought up many times, including just this morning, is the need to perhaps outlaw cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, that's not going to happen at a federal level anytime soon, but here in Connecticut, there's serious discussion about banning cryptocurrency ATMs.
Hallelujah.
I'm not quite sure which legislator introduced this law or bill, sorry. But it's being discussed in the banking committee.
Good.
And that would definitely help cut back on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because if people can't run to these fake money machines,
right,
the bad guys can't, you know, blackmail them.
Yeah.
So it would be nice if this passes.
It would be. And the fact that these things exist, and there's a, you can do a search to see how many of them are out there in Connecticut. There's many hundreds of these stupid machines.
Oh, yeah. That's sitting, right here in this article.
Yeah, sitting in people's, you know, these gas stations.
There's more of them out there than I thought there were. I mean, I've seen a couple here and there, but and man, there's many, many more than I realized.
I mean, the fact that a cryptocurrency machine is a thing, it blew my mind. But the only reason we found out about it was we had a caller call in who was convinced by scammers, kind of similar to the way Melody was, that if he could help the FBI and Microsoft, you know, catch these guys, if he took actual cash out from his bank, which he did. He literally got in his car with the scammers on the line, drove to his bank. The bank then asks him what it's for. They try to stop him and convince him it's this is a scam. He doesn't listen. He then hops in his car, drives to the ATM machine they said was the closest, the scammers told him.
Yeah, because they went and located it.
Yeah, they just Googled it.
But if they're outlawed, that isn't going to work for them, right?
Nope. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he sat in the parking lot waiting for the store to open. He then took $15,000 in cash. I don't think I've ever in my entire life seen $15,000 in cash. But he took it out and put it on top of that machine and stuffed it in there and gave it to the scammers. Now, I don't know. I mean, cryptocurrency is literally digital Beanie Babies as far as I'm concerned. It's all it is. It's fake. There's no value to it. The value is baloney. Yeah, fine. The blockchain below and the technology of blockchain, if you think that's a good idea, fine. But you understand how much power is required to run that stupid blockchain?
Yeah.
And all the computers and CPU and energy. And it's nutty. This is an upside down approach to money.
Right. And if you're part of that blockchain, you have to keep that running.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll miss out on transactions, including possibly your own, and then you lose your money. Fake money.
You lose your fake money. Yeah. So let's see. Let's just all hope that this bill passes and cryptocurrency machines are outlawed because, man, oh, man, a fool in their money. The story goes on and on and on and on. But that poor gentleman, these scammers are very smart, and he's a smart gentleman too. He just believed it. It's like almost, I don't know. I mean, there's a psychology to this type of thing. And social engineering is the one of the easiest ways to trick people out of money. And that's why I ask you for your password, because really that's what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's good news. Let's hope something actually happens in our Connecticut legislature that saves people some money.
Yeah.
That'd be a thing. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Frustrated. The person's name is Frustrated from West Hartford. Hello, Frustrated. What can we do for you?
Well, who wants to air their dirty laundry, right? But I really feel bad for Melanie. And I think we've been hacked, too.
Oh, no.
You know it happens, right? And I'm trying to be upbeat about this. If someone is listening from my household, I didn't do it, quite seriously. It was a little cartoon saying, who did this? Or little kids or something like that. Family Circle, I think it was called.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We had a dinosaur email.
Okay.
Juno.
All right.
And somebody in the house saw something from Juno, probably in an email, saying, we're going through some revision. You need to, we'll get back to you. And to upgrade their system, somebody had to comply with them. And they entered, they typed in and they entered. They double-checked. This is probably an incomplete story because I wasn't there somebody.
Yeah, so you're saying, somebody said we have to update our systems. Please enter your username and password through the email, right? Yeah.
Yep. And I believe somebody went on the internet to double-check the telephone number of Juno.
Of Juno?
Yeah, Juno.com.
Yeah. All right. And so they put their Juno email and password in.
Somebody did that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can't, this has happened like 2 weeks ago. We can't access that email at all. We get like a fax, a fax machine noise.
Yeah.
Try to do that.
You do?
So there are two computers in the house.
Yeah.
The computer that was tainted, because I liked Melanie's phone call. I'm sorry, Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
You said go to another computer.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, taxes are due. People are on the internet doing taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And on the tainted computer, somebody is using Proton account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that have been hackable too? Or when somebody goes on that computer and does the taxes, is that file being compromised too?
No, so he gave the hackers the password to your Juno account. That email address is probably no longer available to you because the hackers have changed that password and now are just acting like they're you. And so they're reaching out to your contacts, any kind of your business contacts. They could be reaching out to your accountant and saying, hey, make sure you send my refund to this bank account. Who knows what they're doing? But no, he can use that computer still to do...
Okay.
His other work, because Proton actually is a very secure email system. But again, if you gave somebody the password, it'd be the same problem.
But if they tainted that computer,
they wouldn't taint it by changing the email password.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they just tricked you into giving that type of credential, which your email is the most important.
They can go through all the old files.
They can go through all your old emails and try to maybe you've got a real estate transaction coming up. Maybe you've corresponded with your financial planner. Maybe you've corresponded with your tax. They can then correspond as you to them.
Mm.
So that's why they get control of your email. And, of course, if you use that email to get into other services, so like let's say you use Fidelity and Fidelity's emailing you to your Juno account. Now they know you have a Fidelity account. They can then email Fidelity, try to act like they're you. All these things come into play when you lose your email access.
So you have to go back historically, meaning me, to all your contacts, business or whatever, or legal. You have to go back through all that correspondence. And I try to keep it minimum because I don't like emailing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go back to all of that.
I'm just saying they have time, right? They're sitting in the third world. They're doing this. They have nothing else to do.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, this is what they have time to do this. So you want to go and maybe change and no longer use that email system. Because Juno, I have not heard Juno in the past 15 years.
Juno, I was going to say that was a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was like 17 years, you know, that was our first email,
right.
And we kept it. And then we did go to your GoNet speed,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do listen to you guys.
Yeah.
And because of you, we went to Proton, or
nice.
You know, somebody did.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you very much. this is just so much in life that you can get stressed about.
Right.
And I do thank you, and I felt so bad.
Yeah,
you know,
for Melanie.
Your Melanie story.
Yeah.
And we all have to wise up. Do you know, the internet has only been around for 17, well, longer, but for our kids, 17 years. And look what it's doing. It's positive, but it's so negative, too.
Yeah, the interwebs there. I mean, when we joined this station and started doing this back in 1995, the internet really was in its infancy. A web page, we always had to say www, right? To have World Wide Web, yada, yada, yada. But before that, there were bulletin board systems that had been around for decades before that. So the internet has been around since the early, late 60s or something like that, right? It was a military thing. It's been around for a long time, but we should be better at it by now. So I would tell you, any systems or any services that use that Juno account, I would change that and let the bad guys try what they want, but they won't have any access to anything.
You guys are top notch. And Melanie was concerned about her banking accounts, and most of the banks, I've said I don't do anything on emails, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
good.
I think they're pretty secure.
Yeah.
But I thank you guys again.
Our pleasure.
And I want to hear about the cats, too.
That's all Dennis. We'll have Dennis talk about his cats, but we have plenty of calls.
All right. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. All right.
Take
bye-bye.
Care.
Yeah. Frustrated in West Hartford. She's right.
Oh, yeah.
Internet feels like it's only been around for 20 minutes, but it's been around for a very, very long time. And we still have trouble understanding just how dangerous it's become. The connections to our lives are direct up to the bad guys.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, my experience with the internet goes back to CompuServe.
Mm-hmm.
And back then I could not have foreseen what it became.
You've got mail.
That was AOL, not CompuServe.
I know. You want to take a break, Joey? Oh.
Is there something now beyond what we understand about computers that, like 20 years ago, we didn't fully understand computers? Is there now another level of something? Maybe we haven't even thought of it. Maybe it's not even possible. Maybe, you know, a whole different mechanism, a whole different software and hardware. Or is this going to be it now through the end of time?
Mostly what we're working on now is the computer being a tool to help us learn or find other people with the same interests. Eventually, we may figure out how to make the computer think, but that turns out to be a very tough problem. In fact, there's been almost no progress made on it. So nobody knows when that'll happen. Some people think it'll never happen.
Yeah, we don't want them to think, do we? Not really,
well,
I wouldn't think.
It's a scary thought.
Yeah. It's too bad there's no money in this, too, isn't there?
So that's what's his name there? David Letterman talking to Bill Gates.
Right.
And when he says, oh, you know, we're trying to work on making the computer a tool, I wonder if it really is as it is a tool. A tool for torture, it feels like, if you're an IT guy. But that's Mr. Gates there talking about his predictions. And oh my gosh, there's so many videos out there with that guy that just make you go back and shudder every now and again. We're going to step out for a quick break. Dan and Bob, hang on, a couple lines open for you. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Actual intelligence versus artificial. We'll be right back.
From the Carter Mario Injury Lawyer Studios, visit GetCarter.com. That's GetCarter.com. This is Computer Talk with Tab.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11. And then, of course, Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Always good to get. Let's get back to your calls here, and we're going to go to Dan in East Windsor first. What's happening, Dan?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, sir. How are you?
Not bad. I'm having an issue with a laptop and with a Windows Terminal. It's weird. I'm running Windows 11 on all three of my computers, desktop and two laptops, all three are Dell, Precision 3440 desktop, Latitude 5590 laptop, and Latitude 7490 laptop. Now, what I've done on the desktop and on the other laptop is set Windows Terminal to always run as administrator. Right? You know, easy to do. I know how to do it. That's not the issue. Go into the settings, click on under profiles, click on defaults, and there's a little toggle switch that says run as profile as administrator.
Yep.
Except for some reason on the Latitude 7490, which I'm not sitting in front of right now, that option is not there. That toggle switch is not there. It's just missing. So there is, I have no idea how to set that terminal to always run as administrator.
So not terminal services. You're calling the computer a terminal?
I think he's talking about the command prompt.
Where you right click on your start button, you see terminal or terminal admin, you know, all that stuff.
All right, just want to make sure we understand the terms.
You can also set it to always run as administrator so that I can open it in a window. In other words, you know, control shift, right click, you can see, you know, open in terminal, so you can, you know, choose command prompt or PowerShell, all that, you know.
Yeah.
So the option to always run as administrator is not there. And it's the same version of Windows. Windows Pro, Windows 11 Pro 23H2, logged in on local account as administrator.
Well, that's where I think it's incorrect. I would have to guess. My first inclination, as Dennis is trying to see if he can find some other answers, is that the account you think is an admin is not an admin. That would be the logical answer. I believe you, but it thinks it's not. It thinks it's not an admin. Because you can't.
It says administrator.
I believe you. I'm just saying it thinks it's not an admin. So it could be that you have some sort of profile corruption. Because if it is an admin, you'd have the little switch.
Well, one of the problems is that what's called Windows Terminal,
yep,
is not a actual Windows application. It is a Windows or Microsoft Store application, or what used to be called a Metro app.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of controls that you would have on it,
yep,
don't always exist.
Right.
And that's one of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, it installs by default with Windows 11. I mean,
I understand that.
Yeah.
What you're probably looking for is to run the command prompt as administrator and just do that.
I'm able to run a command prompt as administrator. Always.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, when you're using command prompt, you end up always having to type the full path for the folder you're working within, rather than being able to just right click and open that particular window in terminal as administrator. You know?
Yeah, it's the Windows terminal has more functionality. I'll grant you that.
Yeah.
But I'm going over an article that says how to do it.
And I can run it as administrator. I just can't set it to always run as administrator.
All right. Let me look at something very, very quick, and I might have an answer for you.
What a weird problem.
So it's not weird because it's how the app is designed and the interface is designed.
Maybe it's more the question of, Dan, what are you doing with it that way? I'm just curious as to how you're using. We just listened to Mr. Gates talk about using your computers as a tool. So I'm curious what you're doing when you have it in that mode.
I'm working with a DISM, which you have to run it as administrator. You know, you need elevated privileges to work with DISM.
D as in dog or G as in G? Good.
DISM. In image servicing and management.
DISM.
Let's take a look here. I'm checking something out and hopefully. Aha! I've got it for you.
All right.
Yeah. I've got it for you. We're going to post an article that will tell you how to do this.
How many steps is it going to be?
A few. You got what you have to do is track down the actual executable file for the app.
Oh my goodness.
And once you've located that, you can click on its properties and then set it to run as administrator. And this article tells you what the path is for that app.
My goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I can probably find the path, but I mean, I'm on my desktop and the other laptop, I can just right click on the start menu, choose terminal, and then when it opens up, the little drop down arrow up top, you click on settings, and then under profiles, click on defaults, and there's a toggle switch. So it's one of those profiles as administrator. The only thing is, on that one laptop,
we believe
that
toggle
switch is not there.
I'm just telling you, there's
a workaround.
There's a difference to how this works, and it's by design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there is a workaround, and we'll post an article for it. Okay.
It should fix it.
Yeah. It'll work.
I don't know why it's only on one laptop that it's not working. I mean,
well, Dan, if you're in IT, the job is to not ask why anymore.
I'm not in IT.
That's okay.
I'm not in IT.
You're running DISM, but you're not in IT?
Right.
I like doing geek stuff. This is all from my own computer.
All right, so then let me give you a quick clue. In IT, you don't ask why, because it's Microsoft.
You just forget.
If it was IBM, you'd want to figure out why. But it's Microsoft, you don't ask why. So well, hopefully this helps you.
I talk for a living.
All right.
This is for my own fun. This is just my passage of time.
Sounds good. All right, we'll be right back. And we are back. We're here till 11:30. I'm sorry, 11 o'clock. What am I?
11:30.
I looked at the clock. It was 10:30, and then I said, we're here till 11:30. I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know what I'm saying on this radio program half the time. So we're going to be here till 11, and feel free to get online. A couple lines open for you guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. And I think Morgan's been talking about, you know, the whole change ransomware attack where they paid $22 million and their systems are – I think the news story talked about being down for years or impacted for years.
Yeah.
And again, Blumenthal wants to get to the bottom of it, right? Look, the ransomware industry wouldn't exist if it weren't for cryptocurrency. You can get to whatever bottom you want, but here's the bottom. IT people tend to be logical, practical people. If you're going to pay them $22 million to send an email that encrypts your whole thing, they're going to do it because you're paying them a lot of money. You're paying them like, I mean, I guess you're not paying them like athletes get paid, but you can pay them a lot of money to do it. If you made it impossible for them to get paid, this would stop. There are all sorts of financial banking regulations that exist that are there for the FBI to track all sorts of things, right? The whole $10,000 thing where if you take more than $10,000 out, the whole planet needs to know that you took $10,000 out, and they want to know what you did with it and who's doing what with it. I mean, there was that congressman that got pinched because he was paying off somebody he had abused as a kid, and he got nailed for that. But for some crazy reason, we allow cryptocurrency to be a thing, and the senator needs to know how to get to the bottom of this? Buddy, it is that. You stop cryptocurrency from being a thing. You stop the bad guys from being paid.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
If you want to pay them in Beanie Babies, go ahead. But don't let them convert crypto into something real. You keep making it real. You keep allowing for these exchanges. It is lunacy. It is greater fool theory. It is all these things that plenty of people have told you guys to stop doing. And for some reason, you can't figure it out. As long as there's money to be made by these guys in all over the planet, they're going to keep doing it. Why? Because it's pretty easy. There's actually softwares as a service that are out there. These gangs actually put the tools out there for amateurs to download and deliver.
Right.
An email. It's not hard.
All they do is write the software, and they count on their affiliates to go distribute it.
Right.
You know, and they just make bank on that.
But they make fake bank,
right?
Which gets converted into real bank thanks to you guys. So regulate something. That's what you like to do. Regulate cryptocurrency shouldn't be a thing. We won't have our institutions being hacked because it's hard to get paid $22 million in $100 bills.
And that's why we don't have bills higher than $100.
Correct. I mean, we might ship them to Iran that way, but that's a whole other story.
And Walter White may have a pallet full of them in his storage shed.
Right. But so come on, guys. That's the answer. If you stop how the bad guys get paid, they won't bother doing it. Oh, also, by the way, the cyber insurance industry, which of course is important, right? You need to be insured. But the more insured you are, the bigger the target you are.
Right. It literally puts a target on your back as an organization.
Because they know you're going to get paid in fake money. Now, if they outlaw that or make cryptocurrency not a thing, all this goes away. And Dennis and I can focus on helping companies become more productive rather than defending against ransom and crypto and being encrypted and being brought down. So that's the answer, sir. I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but if you can't pay the bad guys, they get bad guys. They'll go do something else.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Right.
Let's go to Bob in Windsor. Hey, Bob.
Good morning. You could call me frustrated number two.
Uh-oh. Well, that's basically our industry. Nobody calls us because they're happy. They always call IT guys because they're frustrated.
Believe it or not, Eric and I are frustrated on a on a
constant basis.
Yeah, hourly, if not every 10 minutes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have an Apple 13 phone.
All right.
And I went to settings, and I'm sorry, to apps, and I tried to download an app, and I went all the way through, selected get, and then I'm at a point where it says enter a password for in my email address.
Your
to
Apple
authorize
ID.
This transaction.
Your Apple ID, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And now it says it does not recognize it. Well, last night I spent 3 hours on the phone with Apple. I'm sorry, with AOL, and they totally reset my password. It took a long time. Then they said, oh, we can't help you anymore. Here's technical.
And wait. So before you go any further, why are you talking to AOL?
Because this is an AOL account.
What is an AOL account?
The my website, or my sign-on name.
Your sign-on name for AOL is your Apple ID?
There's two different IDs then?
Yeah.
See, number one, you have an AOL account, which is the email mailbox in addition. Second, you've got an Apple ID with Apple as a company.
Right.
But the name of that ID is your AOL account because any correspondence having to do with it goes in and out of the AOL mailbox.
Right. So you're going to use your AOL mailbox and then a separate password. So you're talking to the wrong folks.
Yeah, you should have been talking to Apple, not AOL.
More likely is you're putting the AOL credential into your Apple, and that's why it won't accept it.
Right. You probably have a different password in both systems.
Which hopefully you do.
I would yeah. You better.
Yeah.
Will Apple be able to help me to retrieve that sign-on?
Yeah, absolutely they will.
And then write it down on a note card and put it away.
Yep. Sure. The second question, I'll make it quick, is I'm looking to upgrade my computer, and I'm wondering, I know I could transfer any of my saved documents on the PC, but am I able to transfer anything from AOL that's on the PC?
What else would there be? Email, right?
Yeah, right. 100%. Emails. 100% you'd be able to do that because on the new computer, you just log into your email and
it downloads.
It'll download to it.
Great.
If you're using a mail client.
Right.
If you're using just...
If you're using the web...
It doesn't matter.
Then nothing downloads to anything and all you're doing is... using the computer, whichever one you're on, as a window into that system.
All right.
If that makes any sense.
Well, thank you, Bob. Now it makes sense to you, right?
Right.
All right.
Definitely so. Thanks, bye.
You're welcome. Didn't take 3 hours. That's the problem, right?
Oh.
The AOL guys assume you're calling about their password.
Right.
And they're just following a script and they're not listening. So.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to Craig in Connecticut somewhere. What's happening, Craig?
Hey, I want some credit if you're going to tell my story.
Oh, Craig. Well, at least you have a good humor about it.
Well, at this point, yes. And maybe I can recoup some of that money by telling the story.
There you go. You could.
Sure.
You're not alone.
Because I don't know if you remember, it was extremely elaborate, and I wasn't sure that AI wasn't involved in this, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that they couldn't go to 15,000 because that trips something off. So they only took 14,900 from me.
Oh.
All right. Well, that's good. You saved $100 on that.
There we go. I got a discount.
Yeah.
Oh.
So how far has it gone, Craig? Thank you for checking in with us. So have you gotten anything back? Have you found out who the bad guys were? Did they trace the crypto wallet that the money went to? Did any law enforcement help you whatsoever?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I talked to everybody. I went to the FBI in New Haven.
Right.
And, I told them the story. They were very interested. And pretty much after that, they've been quiet. And I heard that's what they do.
Yeah, that's how they operate.
And, it takes them a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's weird because all of a sudden, out of the, in the mail with no return address or anything, I got a hard drive. And I thought, okay, I'll be getting some instructions on what to do with this. You know, but in the meantime, you know, I had my computer straightened out, and, you know, which was an exorbitant amount of money, which you guys told me before.
Let's go back a little bit. Somebody shipped you a hard drive out of the blue with no return address?
That's correct.
All right. So that's not the FBI doing that. So I would tell you, if it were me and you went through this, I would call the folks down there in New Haven and say, "This somebody shipped me a hard drive with no," and have them look at it.
They won't say anything.
No, did you call them about it?
Oh yeah.
No, not that they sent it. Have them look at it forensically. I mean, they like to play with that stuff. You don't want that thing, right? You don't even know where it's been. I wouldn't touch it.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. So you would want to say, "Well, guys, I got this in the mail, and would you like to look at it forensically? I don't want it." So that's what I'd tell you to do. Not hang on to it.
I have no idea.
I wouldn't boot it up. I wouldn't plug it in. I wouldn't do anything with it.
Oh no, I was actually going to drill some holes in it and throw it in the trash.
Yeah, no, see, it's got to be interesting that somebody would take the time to do this.
Yeah, there's got to be a story there, and if you as soon as you drill a hole in it, that story evaporates.
So, Craig, what did you do for work before you became? Were you in some sort of like a spy organization?
Obviously not.
So, yeah, I mean, reach out to them and say, "Hey, this is what happened to me. What do you think?" I mean, I'm sure the agent there would might find it interesting. You could even reach out to the person that comes on our program, Connor Phoenix, and see if he would find it interesting. Most likely it's going to have a payload on it. Bad payload.
I have no idea. I wouldn't know a brand new hard drive from an old one. It doesn't appear, which, you know, how would I know?
Right.
It doesn't appear that it's been out of this package. So maybe it was, you know, it was sent to the right address, had my name on it,
right,
but no return address. I was very careful opening it.
And no idea where it came from.
I had no idea, but like I said, I thought maybe it was, you know, coming from the FBI. Let's see what, we want your information.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they'd be a little more forthcoming, and there might be something more information in there, but nobody just sends hard drives like that unless you're watching a Tom Cruise movie.
right. Well, you know, in the meantime, there has been... that I know of, there's been no malicious activity in my system. You know, regardless. Now the gentleman that quote unquote fixed my computer, he did put the pay version of Malwarebytes on there.
Okay.
And you know, I don't know if that's going to protect. It does automatically run. You know, I get, you know, messages fairly often.
Yeah.
But I do feel, you know, a little more protected now.
All right.
You know, even before that happened, I was, you know, I thought it was pretty savvy. I do not, when I get, you know, like junk email, I call it, but it looks official.
Yeah.
You know, I just look at the address on who sent it.
Mm-hmm.
And bloop, just delete it.
Yeah, but they can spoof that pretty good nowadays. The other thing, too, is did you hear that there's an article that they're going to actually try to make those cryptocurrency ATMs illegal, or get them out of here, ban them. You may want to testify.
Yeah,
that's you know, that's what made me call you guys.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I 100% think that should be done.
So here, the links are going to be on our site, on our Facebook page. If you want to find out more about the article, where do you know where it was written?
It was from the 13th.
Which publication?
Oh, Connecticut Insider.
Yeah, so. Well, they got a paywall.
It has a, well, there's also a link to the House bill.
There we go.
And we can post the link directly to that.
Yeah, and then you can reach out to the
legislature's website.
And tell them your story.
Yes. Well, you know, on another aspect of this is I still like what that sheriff did down south.
Yeah.
Where he just went and ripped the machine out and took the money out, and now he's being sued.
Right.
You know, I'm following that story too, but yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would definitely like to, you know, share the story and thank you. You've done a very good job of it.
Well, it's our pleasure, and hope it turns out better for you. Don't do anything with that hard drive other than talk to the FBI about it. Don't plug it into anything, and good luck, Craig. And check in and let us know how you're doing.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, you guys.
You got it. We appreciate you.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Yeah, so that's Craig, the infamous Craig.
Who really? Well, I was thinking about him as soon as I laid eyes on this article.
Yeah. So we'll step out for a quick break, and you can follow everything we talked about, like we said, on ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com. We'll be right back.
Check out WTIC on Instagram and then lose an hour because you start scrolling and you go down a social media rabbit hole and then there's the video of that dog with a squirrel.
If you happen to be Irish, this is the weekend, right?
It is.
Are you Irish?
I am.
Ah, what are you going to have for the St. Paddy's Day?
I haven't decided yet. Probably won't be corned beef, but I'll have something really nice.
Nice.
I might mix up some soda bread.
There you go. Fresh soda bread.
Yeah.
Well, we're back. Here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, but we're running out of time. So as we come up against the top of the hour here, we'll maybe talk about some news you can use. Do you have anything you want to bring up?
Oh, I wanted to talk about one of our favorite people in Washington.
Yeah.
Senator Wyden.
Yeah.
Ron Wyden of Oregon.
Yeah, he knows his IT.
He actually knows his IT, mm-hmm. which sets him apart from the rest of the 99 that are there.
Mm-hmm.
He has been talking about asking the Biden administration to crack down on telecom providers.
Yep.
Because foreign countries are actually breaking into their systems in order to track people. This is not a case where they're cracking into like
phones.
People's smartphones or anything or wiretapping their conversations.
Right.
This is breaking
location information.
Right. And it's breaking into the telecom company systems to get intelligence on people.
Right. So if you got Biff, the IT guy at Verizon, let's say, they're breaking into Biff's account and then using his account to track your location on your phone, which is an aspect of your cell phone.
Right. And he's also got examples of how just some of the software and the systems that they have just not very secure.
Right.
And there are doorways that can be accessed by foreign governments. And he wants the administration to crack down on the telecom companies and stop leaking stuff.
Well.
I mean, it's the very least they can be doing, given how much they charge us for their services.
That is true. But the other thing is, considering using, this is important, right? I'll Senator Wyden has got a lot of great ideas when it comes to IT. So if he thinks it's important, I'll tend to agree with him. But the other aspect is, too many of us use 2FA texting back from your cell phone, right? The cell phone companies are very poor at security for lots of other reasons, too. And to think the customer service person or the engineer that you're going to call with your problem can't be social engineered, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it happens in crypto whales where they get, what's it called, pig butchering, where they actually work together with the internal IT people at the cell companies to then SIMjack your phone. There's lots of issues when it comes to the cell phone industry as far as lack security, and we actually rely too much on it. But we'll see if the administration can crack down on that.
Who knows?
Security in this administration, I'm not so sure about. We'll see.
Security in any administration, I just don't think they worry about it too much.
They don't seem to.
No.
So I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning here in Connecticut. I want to thank Joey, the famous Joey, for producing the program while Carolyn does her real
job.
Try
the VL. I'll be back next week, too.
Yeah, awesome.
All right.
Glad to have him. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over on our Facebook page. If you go to the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network and you want to be a member, just ask, and we'll let you in, and you can get all of our links there. And, of course, if you go to ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the links that Dennis has posted during the show will eventually show up today. We're not exactly sure when.
That's right.
And we will not send you a hard drive if you want to join a Facebook group.
Exactly.
No hard drives required.
I was talking to, I think the most I've ever gotten unsolicited in the mail is like laundry detergent, not a whole hard drive.
Well, I remember getting floppy disks from AOL.
That's about it. So we'll see you guys next Saturday.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.